Hello, friends. Welcome to Think Jesus Cafe. This is your Daily 10, and this is your host, Mark Day. Today, we'll continue in our study of the New Testament letter of 1 John, and we'll take a close look at verses 7 and 8 in chapter 3. And once again, for the sake of context, I'll begin today by reading 1 John chapter 3, verses 4 through 10. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning, because he's been born of God. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. Okay, today let's take a look at verses 7 and 8. The apostle says, "Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil." John cautions his readers to be very, very careful. He cautions true believers to be very careful and, quote, "let no one deceive you." This little phrase reminds us that there were in fact deceivers who had gotten a hearing from those within the church. They'd made inroads into the church. Oh, and by the way, when I refer to the false teachers making inroads or infiltrating the church, I'm not referring to the four walls of a building. They could be in the building, of course, but mainly what I mean is that these false teachers had infiltrated the fellowship and they were getting a hearing. They had gotten a hearing from within the fellowship, within the community of believers. The location is irrelevant. It could have been in a church building, a person's home, or under a palm tree. The problem was that they were getting a hearing. This problem continues today. Deceivers find their way into various faith communities. They may or may not be within the walls of the church building, but regardless, they still find points of access. For example, a false teacher, a theological deceiver, may find access through a compelling television program. Or a false teacher may find access into the fellowship through a compelling book, fiction or nonfiction. Or false beliefs might gain a hearing in the Christian community through compelling music. Or false beliefs might gain inroads into the Christian community through an exotic physical exercise practice. There are many potential avenues of access. False teachers, false believers, are those who are deceptive and outright unbiblical in their claims concerning the human soul and in their claims about God and eternal life. And my point is that these deceivers have infiltrated many churches, sometimes within the walls of the building, but very often their access points are found outside the building. So, the Apostle John cautions us. He says, "Little children, let no one deceive you." Oh, another thing. How is deception evaluated? Clearly, John is cautioning his readers. He's cautioning us. But how do we expect that John would want us to evaluate whether or not a teacher is deceptive? How would John want us to evaluate true and false claims about Jesus Christ? How would John want us to evaluate claims of personal faith? Well, here's the answer. Are you ready? Here's the answer. Apostolic teaching. Again, the answer is apostolic teaching. Apostolic teaching is the standard by which all claims of spirituality and faith must be evaluated. The underlying assumption for John is that his readers were originally taught rightly. And of course, now, deceivers are attempting to corrupt that right apostolic teaching. But the church had originally received right teaching, and what made the teaching right was that it had apostolic roots. Whether or not the teaching came directly from the mouth of John is not the issue. The issue is that the teaching had its roots in the foundational teachings of John and the other apostles. Okay, where do we find apostolic teaching today? That's right, the Bible. So how do we evaluate claims of spiritual insight? We evaluate all claims of truth, all claims of spiritual insight, on the basis of the Bible, because that's where we find the teachings of the apostles and the prophets. Listen to what the Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 17 through 21. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. So, the way deception is exposed is by Scripture. Deception is exposed by evaluating whether or not truth claims are aligned with apostolic teachings and the teachings found in the prophets. That's another reason why Bible study is so important, so that we can root out deception and avoid it. Okay, let's think about what the Apostle John is saying in verses 7 and 8. John is saying this: you do what you are. Did you catch that? John is saying, you do what you are. Your deeds reveal your heart. Your actions reveal your character. John says it this way: whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. In other words, John is saying, you do what you are. Now, this is the same thing that Jesus said to his disciples in the presence of the Pharisees in Matthew 15. The Pharisees were arguing about the disciples' obedience to the traditional ceremonial religious custom of washing hands before eating. Hand washing was important to the Pharisees not merely for the sake of personal hygiene. It had ceremonial and religious meaning. In Matthew 15, verses 10 and 11, we read this about Jesus. And he called the people to him and said to them, hear and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a person. And then in the same chapter, in Matthew 15, verses 18 and 19, Jesus said, but what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone. So, once again, we see that the issue is the spiritual condition of a person's heart. Jesus is saying that the things that a person says and a person's behavior are a reflection of what is already residing in the heart. And that is what makes a person unclean. Jesus is saying that our actions and our words are a public display of what we are like on the inside. So Jesus is saying, you do what you are. The Apostle John is saying the same thing. The one who practices righteousness is righteous. John is not saying that we are saved by being righteous. He's not saying that if you practice righteousness, then God will accept you as righteous. And he's not saying that if you practice righteousness, you'll be saved. The Apostle John is saying this: if God has done a work of grace in your heart, if you have truly believed on Christ alone for salvation, if by faith alone you've trusted Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, then this is the way you will live. The evidence of God's grace working in your heart will be seen in your life. The righteousness of Christ will be lived out through you by virtue of the indwelling work of the Holy Spirit. And the evidence for that indwelling work will be in how you live. Again, John says, the one who practices righteousness is righteous. Now, this has enormous application for our lives today. We all have experience with people who claim one thing, but then their actions betray their verbal statements. They claim one thing, and they do another thing. They claim to be followers of Jesus. They claim loyalty to Jesus, but their actions tell a much different story. Their actions reveal what actually resides deep down in their heart. Some people can be very convincing in their use of words. They can be very convincing in the things they say. But John helps us understand that those daily lifestyle words and actions will reveal what is really happening in a person's heart. You do what you are. The deceivers, who John was confronting directly, were saying one thing. They were putting on good appearances, but their actions were revealing the truth of who they really were. Their actions did not align with their verbal claims, nor did they align with apostolic truth. As I say, John gives us an enormously helpful teaching, and it has application in so many different areas of life. The workplace, personal relationships, faith communities, local residential communities, the wider culture. We all encounter people who say one thing, but then their actions contradict their words. This is particularly true in highly stressful situations. A person may have been making declarations of faith for quite some time. They may have been claiming to be a Jesus follower for quite some time. But when the test comes, when the stress increases, when they are tempted, their actions reveal the truth of their heart. We do what we are. Our actions reveal our heart. Thank you for joining us in Think Jesus Cafe. This has been your Daily 10. Join us again next time as we think about Jesus, a biblical worldview, and daily life.